When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hello, and welcome to the Over and Back Classic NBA Podcast. I am Jason, and we are watching the 2001 All-Star Game. We've got Vince Carter and Latrell Sprewell hanging out right now. With me, as usual, is Rich. Hello, Rich.
Hey, how's it going?
And we've got two special guests today who are going to be watching this game and providing commentary along with us. First, of course, you know him, the purveyor of Pro's history, a frequent guest in this program, Dr. Curtis Harris. Welcome, Curtis.
Oh, thank you for getting the credentials right this time.
Of course. And then next, we have first time on the program. He is a basketball writer. You can find him at The Step Back, at FanSided, also at Real GM, Micah Wimmer. Micah, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So, we've got the 2001 All-Star Game. We got Jim Gray talking. We got an injured Grant Hill here.
So, I don't know if people could hear this on the broadcast, but I watched this a little bit earlier, and it is so awful to hear. Because the interviewer, I forget his last name, Lewis something or whatever, he goes, Grant, it's so odd to see you here on crutches. It's so different and unique. We always see you out there, and I'm like, oh no. He doesn't know what's coming. Oh, God, the next 5 years. No.
Yeah,
like, no. He doesn't know. Oh God! Tell him.
Is this the last NBA All-Star game, or did they have one more year on the contract? I forget what year it actually.
NBC. I want to say one more year, but I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay. All right. We'll look that one up. Yeah, I don't know. We're not going to spoil the result of the game here. We try to kind of, you know, keep it for anyone who hasn't watched this or doesn't know the result. We're not going to talk about what happens here.
We're doing a spoiler alert on that
21-year-old All-Star game. It's the fun thing. That's what we've been doing in the past. But I was going to ask, you know, without actually spoiling the result of this game, what stands out about, you know, what sparked the interest in the 2001 game in particular?
I guess I should go first since I suggested it. It's a highly competitive game, in my opinion. Don't turn away, folks. If things look a little out of hand, don't let that ruin it for you. So it's highly competitive. Lots of great young stars at this point. You can see on the court, you got Weber, Duncan, McGrady. So kind of a new generation of stars coming into the NBA at this point, coming into their own. And also, personally, I love it when the teams or the players wear the jerseys of their own team during the All-Star game. So
okay, yeah.
That's what stands out for me.
Okay. See, I generally not a huge fan of wearing your own uniform in an All-Star game. I like uniforms. I like players all, you know, wearing the same uniform, you know, looking the same. I don't know. It's just something about that rubs me the wrong way.
What if the uniforms are bad, though? Which
they're
back.
Still the same. They're still the same. Right. No,
Jason dislikes authoritarianism.
just want these all the individuals. The same. Yeah. Take that headband off, Iverson. Get those cornrows out of there, bud.
Yeah. Cover up those.
No. Don't you tell Vince Carter to get rid of the cornrows. It is.
I do think one thing about the 2001 All-Star game that I was looking at with I was looking at the rosters, and a lot of these players obviously didn't play because of injuries or anything. There's things like that. But in the Eastern Conference alone, you've got 11 players where this is either their first or second All-Star game appearance. So it's not just like that there's a few new stars. This is like a whole new overhaul from the previous generation, the league trying to kind of find its footing in the immediate post-Shaq era, or not post-Shaq, post-Jordan era. And it's not just post-Jordan. You've got this, you got Malone, David Robinson, Hakeem Olajuwon, Patrick Ewing, stars from the 90s that aren't appearing here tonight. So it's really this whole new era that we're seeing being embarked on here in this game.
Yeah, and Micah, I was talking a little bit with Curtis before we went on the air here, and I remember this game. I was watching a little bit of it earlier, and I was just remembering, holy crap, I watched this game a ton of times as a kid, and this is in like my peak era of like my childhood fandom of the NBA. Now, I grew up in Chicago in the 90s or whatever, so you know I was obviously a Bulls fan, and I was watching, but like, this was the era where I really started to appreciate basketball, know basketball, go a little bit beyond just like, yay, Michael Jordan, yay, awesome. Like, and I think that's a big reason why, is because for the first time it felt like, oh, this is like my league now. These are all players that I've seen for the first time. I was a huge Vince Carter fan. He's going to be the leading vote getter. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. Like, it'd be hard to believe that Vince Carter at any point in his career was like the leading, like he was the biggest star in the league. Like Allen Iverson, I think there was this game, they played like a documentary either before or after about his life and his career or whatever. It just felt like a totally different league at this time. Like you said, Tracy McGrady is on the ascent. He's on the next as he passes to a not looking Anthony Mason, but like he's on the ascent, and it really did feel like a whole different era. Like you said, it was, you know, 1999 and 2000 was like this weird time where it was like a lot of the old guys were still kind of around, but Jordan wasn't there, and there was this weird malaise. Whereas this feels like you said, like the East is all new guys. Like almost everybody up and down this roster is new, and the West is like, yeah, you have your like your incumbent guys, like your Shaqs or whatever, who's obviously hurt, and you know Kobe or whatever. But even Kobe is still kind of just learning the ropes. Tim Duncan's only a couple years in his career; he hasn't quite reached, you know, full blown superstardom yet. And yeah, it's kind of cool in that sense that it does feel like a completely new game than what we've seen over the last, God, 10 to 15 years, when it was pretty much, you know, Magic to Bird to Jordan to, you know, now this kind of in between period. And now it's, this is the new era of guys kind of coming in and you know, making their, you know, making their claim on the league.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One thing I did find fascinating looking at this is Grant Hill. We saw him earlier being interviewed by Jim Gray was it Jim Gray? Anyway, Grant Hill was voted a starter despite only making four appearances earlier in the year. And I just find it fascinating that Grant Hill was like such a magnetic personality to fans of 2001 to get voted in spite of his absence. I didn't realize he was that popular.
No, he was super popular right from the get-go. Like, he was the leading vote-getter in his rookie year back in 94, 95, so... Grant Hill had the juice right from the get-go.
Oh, look at Fancy Kid.
Man.
Yeah,
I didn't know Jason Kidd had that in him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had too much of that in him, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's some fancy driving by him. Unlike other incidents. If only he kept it to the hardwood.
Yeah. I do very much enjoy Antonio Davis. All-star starter, though.
Like, yes.
You know, I saw a lot of people, well, you know, get. I know he came there for injuries or whatnot.
Replacement starter.
Yeah, it's just kind of funny when, you know, I hear all the hubbub about Andrew Wiggins. It's like, well, back in my day, Antonio Davis started the all-star.
Well, hey. Like, Andrew Wiggins, this is the thing. Antonio Davis, as you said, he's a replacement starter.
Yeah, right.
And he was a borderline all-star this year.
Yeah.
Wiggins is also a borderline all-star this year, but, like, it's a... Goddamn travesty he got voted in as a starter. even as someone who tries not to care about the All-Star game, even I was floored by that. That's terrible.
When you get a K-pop guy that's paid ambassador of the Warriors to retweet your vote Wiggins hashtag, then yeah.
Light years ahead, baby.
Things happen.
Oh, look at Tim Duncan. That's a... A lot of folks don't know about young Barkley. A lot of folks don't know about young Duncan.
No. So.
Yeah. What is KG doing?
Look how big the West front court is.
I know, it's massive. Like,
Jason Kidd's the shortest one at 6'4", then like Kobe 6'6", and the other three guys are 7'3".
Yeah, Chris Webber, you're small forward. You know what I mean?
Like,
yeah.
That hesitation dribble from Tim Duncan. What a look.
Well, this is 11-0. Why do we choose this game? This game's stupid, guys. Let's find a different one. So I'm done, yeah. I'll find a different one. Anybody want to name some? Because 11-0, we're done. I mean, come on.
No, we should watch whatever game it was that the West won by 40 points.
Right.
Or like 190. Yeah. That was an exciting game. All so many points.
Yeah. So I did note that 6 of the 10 starters in this game are 25 or younger. So just kind of emphasizing how young, you know, the players are. And, you know, Kidd's 27, Weber is 27 as well. So still, you know, obviously not old in their careers. But yeah, they're basically like 9 out of the 10 guys, the non you know, not Antonio Davis, Anthony Mason guys, you know, extremely young in their careers for the most part. And like you said, kind of backing up, this is a whole new generation. And yeah, and again, these are some of the best stars in the league on some of the best teams in the league as well.
You know, and even Antonio, you know, is fresh to a degree because he had been in the league since, I think, like 93 with the Pacers, but it took him a while to get to the NBA, and he wasn't really, you know, important role player on the Pacers, but, you know, he wasn't a star player by any means. So
right.
Even for him, this is kind of like a, for if like you're more of a casual fan, it's like, oh, look, it's Antonio Davis.
Yeah. And arguably,
I'm trying to think of what that fan would be.
Yeah, yeah. He's like arguably the second most important player on the Raptors, too. You know, and they're a good team and like one of the better teams in the East. So, yeah, it's not like, you know, he's there by, you know, he's there because he was good and he assumed a role. So, yeah, he's new to, like, the eyes. You know, even though he'd been around, nobody really knew, you know, much about Antonio Davis before.
Right. Yeah, I mean.
Ooh, look at that steal. Huh? Sorry. He just...
No, I was good.
Oh,
yeah, no,
God. That's the driving we know from Jason Kidd.
he tried it and it didn't work.
Yeah. There you go, Anthony Mason. Just take a 12-foot.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
But one other quick thing while we're on the Antonio Davis love train.
He had a fantastic
playoff, the series against the Sixers this season. Antonio Davis was a badass in that series, like especially in the Game 7. Like, he was just like hitting jump shot after jump shot. It was absurd. He was the reason why the Raptors even had a chance to win that Game 7.
Yeah, you know, he's kind of an interesting guy because I would assume he was at least fairly well known given the number of times the Pacers were in the playoffs in a deep playoff series and, you know, playing the Bulls. So I would assume that, like, you know, maybe a heavy casual NBA fan would have at least been familiar with him, would have seen him on those teams, you know. So, but obviously, yeah, there's you know the name and have some idea of the player, but you don't know much about him beyond that.
Yeah, he was like the sixth most important Pacer, you know, during those days, like, you know, six or seven most important Pacers. So, yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean,
it's like
fascinating looking at his looking at the stats he had for this year, because he got an all-star starter bid after averaging 13.7 points and 10 rebounds, which whatever. But the thing that really fascinates me looking at it now is that this guy was a center who shot 43% from the field on twos.
Yeah.
Different era.
Very different game. Yeah. He's a free agent. They're playing very, very well. The Raptors were probably, I mean, it's certainly one of the top stories in the league at this point. You know, I mean, they were, you know, they were up there in terms of, you know, they were first year they really had like a winning record and were, you know, had a chance to win the East. Of course, you know, Carter breaking out as a star, and yeah, they were old ass team too. You know, with obviously Davis was 32. You had Oakley, who was 37. Mark Jackson, who's 35, and Kevin Wilson, Chris Childs too. So
and their old coach Lenny Wilkins. Right? Well,
that's right. Yeah.
Don't forget Dell Curry.
That's right. Yeah. Tyrone Corbin. I mean, now some of these guys only played like a handful of games on the team that year. But yeah. But Oakley and Antonio Davis, you know, each played 78 games and played 35 minutes per game. So they were, you know, they were heavily involved. And, Mark Jackson played heavy minutes, too. So.
God, that move by Iverson.
I used to do that. It's good. The feels are coming back. I remember doing that move. I didn't do it as gracefully as Allen Iverson, believe it or not, as a
unathletic.
I don't really understand the move even was, but it just looked
good. It was dumb. There was no reason to do it. It just looked cool as hell. It's just like you go up and under with your one hand and... Yeah, I don't know. There's no reason to do it. But yeah, me as a 12-year-old, pudgy, 5'8" white kid did not do it as gracefully as Iverson did. So.
Well, I would just like to point out Antonio Davis also had a great block on that.
He did.
Since we're besmirching his shooting ability.
Yeah.
This is an interesting thing. I mean, the starters are still out there, man. It's like...
Yeah.
Tough coaching here. Rick Adelman's just like, no, I'm sticking with my guys. We're doing well.
Yeah. Ooh,
like,
yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what you get when you got Larry Brown on the sideline.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Larry Brown. He's probably already somehow found a way to, like,
trying to trade
half
somebody.
The team upset at him. Yeah, someone's getting traded.
Someone's getting traded.
He's seeing if he can quit. Yeah. Can I quit? No. Yeah. All right. I have to stay the whole game. The whole game, really? Yeah. Okay. All right.
Is there another all-star team, another league I can coach?
Did I do the sophomore game? No, that one's already done. Okay.
Yeah. Is there a Legends game this year? Yeah.
Right.
Oh, well.
Oh, the bench isn't empty.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that was the play of the game right there.
Yeah, nice.
At least in my opinion. I don't think there's anything better coming in tonight.
Okay. Well, we'll see. Well, we can debate.
We'll see. Yeah. You'll be out to prove me wrong now.
I'm not aiming to prove the doctor wrong. I'm just, if we're early on enough, I just want to, it's pretty good.
Well, look, Jason, do you want to fail this class or not?
So
that was a sweet move.
Yeah, that was an awesome
left hand, just switch it to the right while you're falling out of bounds.
Yeah. Allen Iverson, fun to watch. All right, we got the bench, and we got those ugly ass Sonics uniforms.
Those are hideous.
Okay, I was gonna ask Michael. I know that all three of us have established, but I don't know if you established your thoughts on the red Seattle SuperSonics jerseys. But
I forgot those existed, honestly.
You're on the right side of history, so
yeah. I mean, I've seen people defend, you know, the Pistons uniforms and the Rockets uniforms and some of the other uniforms from that era, but I don't think I've ever seen anybody try to defend the Sonic uniforms from that era.
I don't mind the logo so much or the design as much as I do that red color.
Yeah, the red.
It's not a good design. I'm not defending it. I'm just saying the color is really what sends it into being hideous for me.
Yeah, I would agree.
So, let's also note Michael Finley wearing the last good uniform Dallas ever had.
Yeah.
And actually the only good uniform Dallas ever had.
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah,
they basically. I mean, they had different slight alterations, but like that was essentially the jersey.
What are your thoughts on the green Mavericks ones, though? I like those. Like not the modern, like the green of this.
Those
this
are
era.
Fine.
I like those are fine. As like an alternate once in a while. Wow. I think the blue is a better.
Look at that ball movement.
Beautiful. We got Marbury here. So how far away are we from the? I guess we're not super far from the. We're about to get the Kid Marbury trade, right?
I mean, that off season.
Yeah, that off season.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. I couldn't remember if that was in season or off season. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. So
this game is a fascinating time capsule for a brief moment when Michael Finley was the Mavericks All Star and not Nowitzki or Nash.
Yeah,
and he was the big.
Oh, absolutely.
There. Yeah. Against Tracy McGrady, a matchup of two of the youngest players
in the game. Watch this. There we go. Good double screen. Get him free.
Curl into
terrible defense by McGrady.
Where's Davis on the help there?
Yeah.
Your boy.
You don't expect to do. Hey, you don't expect a guy to get that wide open. Yeah, but you have some expectations from your teammates. And McGrady just didn't meet him on that play.
Former teammate. Yeah, I forget.
And that's why he's on the bench. Look at him.
I forget if they were actually on the Raptors at the same time. I don't remember. I don't think so. I think McGrady left. Davis came in.
Oh, no. It's 2000 season. They were together, right?
They might have split 1 year. Cause, yeah, Davis.
Yeah, I think 1 year.
Okay.
Because Davis. This was definitely with the Pacers in 98, but he wasn't in 2000, so yeah, I think.
Yeah,
because this is McGrady's first year with the Magic, right?
I think so, yeah. Yep.
Hey, we got old man Robinson out there.
Yeah.
Final All-Star game for him, I believe.
And Antonio McDice, a healthy Antonio.
Yeah. His knee hasn't exploded yet, but we'll see. It's still good. Okay.
Oh, looks a little creepy.
Are we sure? I don't know.
Those Nuggets jerseys aren't as bad as a lot of the 90s ones, but man, I they're ugly.
I think they're
They're just dull, I think.
I hate to admit that I've started to like them. I don't know why. Like, I used to hate them, and now I think I like them.
I never hated them. I thought they were just like, you didn't need to change those, but it's just like, And basically, it's like there are. I don't think they're bad. It's just like what you went from to go to those.
Yeah,
I think that's part of it. Yeah,
I think that's what makes them worse. It's just like you had something really, really good, and you just go to. Eh.
The real tragedy is the purple Bucks jerseys. To be honest.
Those are pretty bad.
Yeah, those suck.
I will say the odd thing about those Nuggets uniforms is they went from really colorful and like a really ornate design, which was the exception. Yeah. which was the exception in the '80s, and they went to a boring uniform where every other team went the opposite. So they zagged while everybody else zigged. So
you get bonus points. You're
extra credit. Appreciate that.
I think that's the big deal though with the 90s jerseys, is that the redesigns were usually just terrible. At best you're just going to be bland, but yeah, teams were just on the mask, going from stuff that was great or even just very good to awful or bland. That's the worst part about it.
This is so garish.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like, Jason and I did an episode many moons ago about the 1999 season, which we declared the worst season for jerseys ever. And something that was always kind of funny about all the jerseys is every logo got changed, and every logo had to have motion in it. Like a ball had to be moving, a ball had to have a smile, things had to be going for. But like you mentioned again, what's funny about that is the Nuggets was just like, I don't know, let's just make Nuggets in like brown, yellow. All right, like, you know, it's just like what? They had a really garish, like over the top, like stunning jersey, and they're like, I don't know, let's just do brown and blue. It's so strange.
The angry face on the Houston Rocket, I'm very partial to.
No, we need to kick Mike off this right now.
I know, I'm not partial to the logo. I'm just partial. I think if you're going to have some of that ugly, throw that angry face in, you know. It's a nice little sign. It's a nice little detail.
All right.
There's nothing redeeming whatsoever about the 1990s, mid-90s redesigned by the Rockets because... God, I hate that logo so much. I hate those.
After they winning a world title too, which is the best part.
After winning back-to-back titles,
that's the best.
You go from the classic jersey and colors, and haven't won a title since. I like to think the two things are connected.
It's hard not. I mean, come on.
Possible. Yeah.
I mean, they did win two titles with the old jerseys. And,
right.
Yeah.
As soon as they switched.
Haven't even big back to the finals. Not even just not win a title, but haven't even big back to the finals since then.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, just point things out.
Yeah.
Makes you think.
Good point. It does make you think.
Yeah.
So, McDice is one of five players who were only one-time All-Stars who either played or were selected for this game. So, we got Vlade Divac, Antonio McDice, Antonio Davis, Anthony Mason, and Theo Ratliff, who would have to be one of the worst players, I would say, to ever be selected for an All-Star game. Although he was pretty good this season.
I was about to start jump to this computer and start.
Wow.
Yeah, me and you have
all the glory.
Wow. I said one of the worst. I didn't say the worst.
He was awesome this year.
Okay.
That's the thing. All right, thanks a lot. That's like, look, go look up at his.
Why did they trade him then?
Because he was hurt. Your Ratliff argument.
Because he was hurt.
I forgot he got
That's literally why they traded him. That's why he's not playing in this game.
That's right. All right. I forgot he got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Very frustrated. Yeah.
We have to stick up for Theo. Like, just awesome defender this year.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you got me heated because, like, one of my biggest. Sorry, you touched a nerve. I'm sorry about that.
Okay. All right. I did. Yeah.
But no, it's one of the worst things. Because, like, the 2001 Sixers, like, they were going to lose the finals anyways, but they wouldn't have been steamrolled because when Ratliff got hurt, they had to like replace him at center, obviously, so they got Mutombo. But to get Mutombo, they also had to give up Tony Kukoc in that trade.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you think like, the Sixers probably would have been much better if they had Theo Ratliff and Tony Kukoc instead of just Mutombo going up against the Lakers. Injuries happen. That's the breaks. But it just sucks. Ratliff's best year is when he gets hurt halfway through.
Yeah. I had no idea Theo Ratliff played until the 2011 season. He played 10 games in the 2011 season. I had no idea his career lasted that long.
Wow.
Anyone want to guess?
Oh man, okay.
Pistons.
I know he went back to the Sixers, and he also played for the Lakers. I think the Lakers was his last team.
That is correct. Lakers was the last team.
Oh, wow.
He also, and this must be a misprint, but he also played for a team called the Charlotte Bobcats. That can't be right.
Impossible.
No, that doesn't seem right.
Bobcats, get out of here.
Yeah, that, no, I don't think so.
I think that the basketball reference sometimes when they don't put in a, like if you don't put a team name in there, I think they just put Bobcats in there in, as a general thing. So
yeah, that makes sense.
They must
yeah,
have just their default. The guy who entered it forgot to type in Hornets or something like that, and it's just put Bobcats.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
You know, Curtis had a good point about, you know, that Dikembe Mutombo was supposed to be like the difference maker for, you know, if they went to the finals. And then I always remember that like Shaq had like 33 in the 18th. It like didn't matter even for a second that Dikembe Mutombo was there. Shaq just put his nuts in his face immediately and just was like, get out of here, dude. And it just didn't help anything.
I'd just like to clarify, I was not besmirching Mutombo.
No, right. I mean, a few people could guard Shaq at that time. Yeah.
Yeah, but you want to have Ratliff and Kukoc versus just Mutombo.
Right.
Yeah,
sure.
Because they had no shooting. So. After they got rid of Kukoc, I mean, it was like, Rajah Bell was like your next best shooter, right? Like,
well, they had injuries up and down the roster, too, because they lost, what's his name? They lost George Lynch in the playoffs, too. He broke his foot during that playoff run. So it's like, all right, you're down another wing player. So. Yeah. Yeah, it was tough going for those Sixers. They were overmatched.
Yeah.
Look at the Admiral making these cuts. Okay, look at this big-ass front line. I just realized this. It's Dave Robinson, McDyson, Rasheed Wallace in the front line.
Holy crap. Small shooting guard Rasheed Wallace. Incredible.
Yeah.
This is the best.
And Michael Finley, and I guess Peyton's the point guard still.
Okay, right.
I think he's still the point guard.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, so, right.
But it's a harbinger of Wallace's later days where he will never cross the three-point line again.
Yeah, like the West is throwing out these Titanic lineups, and the East has got Mutombo, and everybody else is like 6'6 and under.
Yeah,
like Robinson's
Glenn Robinson at the four.
Well, he is the big dog, so I guess
might as well. Yeah,
but
I think it was more of a wide thing than a tall.
Wide dog. Yeah, right. Yeah, the wide dog just doesn't have quite the same ring to it, does it?
There we go. 1995 slam dunk champion. I forget what year he was in. No, he didn't win that.
Finley?
No, he didn't win.
Yeah, he didn't win.
No, he didn't. Oh, no, he embarrassed himself.
Yeah,
no,
I remember.
The
actually...
cartwheel dunk.
Oh, right.
It wasn't even a great cartwheel, too. That was so sad about it.
No, it's very bad.
Right.
His legs are not all the way up at all.
No, it's like something went wrong with his back, so he's like...
It's so rushed.
Oh, he clearly didn't plan it out or practice it before.
No, he did not.
Proviso
like,
sled.
It's like I'm in tough waters here. I gotta go for the cartwheel dunk. That's gonna impress the people.
Hey, at least it wasn't a prop.
That is true.
Yeah.
Oh, Dikembe, you were right there. Oh. I like Robinson just playing his ass off.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. Oh.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
When Ray Allen had hops.
Yeah.
That
was a very high lob.
Yeah.
Young folks don't know Ray Allen had the hops.
He did.
Yeah.
It is funny how that time in Boston's like kind of almost retroactively made him underrated because it's people just think of him as like a spot up shooter and little more.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a really good point. That's sort of an interesting phenomenon. I feel like Dennis Johnson in Boston's a little bit the same way.
Yeah, quickly in Allen's career, he just became like a complimentary guy as opposed to like a guy. And yeah, it's kind of wild because as you can see, he's pretty good.
Yeah,
there was a lot more dynamism to his game, and it was a lot more diverse. And he had a much more had a wider breadth of skills than he got to showcase that often in Boston, which was of course what he's best known for.
Sure.
Well, that's the price of success.
Yeah, so he'll probably take it. You know,
getting. Well, you mean you don't want to score 25 points a game for the Sonics that aren't really going anywhere?
Oh, I don't know. He did have to deal with Rajon Rondo for like 5 years.
That's a good point. Yeah, he probably of all people had the worst time with Rondo, perhaps of any like significant player anyway.
Still to this day, who's
still.
Like, get over it, dude.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, those 2008 Celtics have a slightly high opinion of themselves.
You think?
Yeah. Yeah, it's only
hard to be the greatest team of all time, though, Jason. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, the undisputed greatest team of all time. Is, you know, it's difficult. So. Yeah,
I would love to coast off something I did once 14 years ago for the rest of my life.
Yeah, so we're twice as far away from the 2008 Celtics as 2008 was from this All-Star game, which that's I don't know how I feel about that. Passage of time is a killer. Yeah, so 2001's kind of was a little bit of a dormant period for me in terms of NBA fandom. I checked out a little bit during college time, which would have been like 97 through 2001, 2002. And I kind of got back into it like 2003, 2004 when I, one, when LeBron came into the league, and two, when I moved to Atlanta and became a Hawks fan. So, I was vaguely aware of what was going on, and I knew some of the top stars, but, you know, like a guy like McGrady was not somebody who was really on my radar, or, you know, somebody like, I mean, Vince Carter to a degree, yeah, because of the dunk contest, but a lot of these guys I didn't really have an appreciation for. The time wasn't until I got back into the league and, you know, kind of learn more about them that I really, dug this new generation.
I'm just stuck on the part where you said I moved to Atlanta in 03 and became a Hawks fan.
Well, it was the first time that I lived in a city that had, yeah, it was the first time I lived in a city that had an NBA team. So, you know, I was like, all right, I'm going to embrace the local team. I like, you know, basketball. And plus, you know, you got Josh Smith and you got Josh Childress, you know, high flying rookie. You got Antoine Walker.
Those are selling points.
You know? Absolutely. Hey.
Well, bless you, sir, for taking in that wayward child as your team.
Hey, it led to some very good times. So,
and we got a driving finger roll from Vlade now.
His first All-Star game here. This is incredible, too.
Right.
His only All-Star game, right?
Yeah, one and only. One and done.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you got the sex offender out there. Just got a rebound.
Yeah.
In the hideous black Utah Jazz.
Yeah, those weird-ass Jazz uniforms. Yeah.
So I was
that
watching.
Said... Oh, no, those are still better than what they had in the late 90s.
For sure.
Sadly.
No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody. So I was randomly watching the 2000 All-Star game today. I was watching it during my lunch hour. And there was something they were talking about how Carmelo wasn't going to come to All-Star games anymore. And he had some issue with Kobe Bryant in a prior year. I was so confused. I tried to look it up, and I couldn't figure out exactly what they were talking about. So I have no idea what the hell. But he got, like, suspended and fined because in the 2000 All-Star game, he just didn't show up until the game. Like, he didn't do any of the other festivities. He was out, like, fishing or hunting or something like that.
I don't know the backstory on that, but I do remember from the time Karl Malone was just like checked out. He's like, I don't feel like going to All-Star games anymore.
Yeah, yeah. So like, that's why, like, because all of a sudden I'm like, oh yeah, Karl Malone. Did, like, he was just like, don't put me in unless you absolutely need to. I guess they were like,
he was like, I don't want to play this.
Right. Yeah. Like, and that's what they were saying in 2000. It was like, he just basically was like, well, I'm not going to go. And they're like, well, you're going to get fined X amount of dollars. And he's like, all right, I'll go.
He doesn't seem like a fun guy.
No, I would say no.
Yeah. Well, your 18th All-Star game, and like, I'm not trying to be the Karl Malone defender here, but I guess I get it. You know, at a certain point, like, you're just sick of the shit. You're just ready to be done. You know?
Sounds like the Karl Malone defender.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to defend Karl Malone. He's like, but yet here you are.
All right.
The word but should never follow. I don't want to defend Karl Malone.
All right. Fair enough. I retract any
defense. Last team, man, they're fucking up, man. They had the lead here. They're getting a little too fancy. A little too fancy.
Yeah, there you go.
Whereas Allen Houston with a no look to my man Antonio Davis.
Absolutely.
Curtis has been talking a lot of crap about Antonio Davis. My man's out here balling.
So. He is. Yeah.
What do you mean I've been talking a lot of crap about Antonio Davis?
Chicago Bulls.
I from day one have said, oh, I remember this. Oh, the camera. What a perfect time to go to that camera.
Yeah.
Oh, you couldn't do that. By the way, bring that camera back. I remember Rebby C did that for a little bit, and then like nobody else has done that camera, the floor cam.
They had something like kind of similar to that with like that dolly sideline camera in the bubble.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Didn't that thing almost kill Luka?
I don't remember, actually.
Okay, I might be making that up.
That was way too long ago for me to remember. Yeah. That was seven years ago.
That's all blur.
Speaking of terrible Piston uniforms, Jerry Stackhouse has one of those terrible heels.
Yeah. Well, right at the end of that, I think.
Look at that.
Where's my help? Carl's like,
let me decide to do a 360 dunk and drive him to the hoop.
Just so casual and fluid. Gary Payton can't believe it.
And the Shaq stink face.
Yeah, when I was watching that 2000 game earlier, it was awesome. So obviously 2000 dunk contest, obviously Vince's. So the first part of the All-Star game, in like the first 5 minutes, he throws down like two amazing dunks, just incredible dunks, and it's just, yeah, that was his weekend, man. He owned that All-Star weekend. Yeah, there's no doubt he's going to get leading vote getter again this year, because yeah, he was just on a different level. People also forget that about Vince Carter. He was not only the most popular player, but really, really, really good for a little bit.
I mean, I think for the league, you know, because like we said, this is, what, the third season post-MJ retirement. And I think part of it was, you know, there was that continual search for the next Jordan, you know, even before he retired, putting it on like Harold Miner and a few other players. And I think Vince Carter, like, he's the closest thing, or at least in the immediate aftermath, to kind of embody that. And they're really, I mean, part of it's organic because he is a very, very good player. But part of it is like, okay, he fits this mold easily. Let's push this. Because, like, obviously, we see Kobe sort of taking that mantle, especially consciously. Like, he really wants to take it, but we're not at that point in his career yet.
Yeah, well, I think also the Kobe-Shaq dynamic changes that, because to a point, Kobe can't be the man in the same way that Vince Carter's the man at this point, because Shaq is there. You know, he can play the same way, and he can be really, really good, and he can be the best. He might have already been the best shooting guard in the league at this point, or very close to it, but yeah, it's not the same dynamic that doesn't allow him to kind of do that.
Yeah, because so much of what made Jordan, that and not just like has a player, but like has a myth, has an icon, is that alpha aspect to it. That, you know, and a lot of it was manufactured, but yeah, for that mantle fits Vince Carter a lot more naturally than it does Kobe at this point.
Sure. Today he's got to go up against about three shot blockers when he gets inside. That was a terrific shot. 8 point West lead. Nice defense by Carter there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Kobe's. Right
Kobe.
I don't want to spoil it.
That's why he's the leading vote getter, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Down 11-0 at the start. They trailed by as many as 16.
Davis. There's my man. Yeah. Yelling. Does everybody hear somebody just yell, Antonio?
Yeah.
Just under three to go in the half. Nice pass. Nice pass. Bryant for Duncan. See, Kobe could pass.
I loved how, like, well, with Kobe, it felt like there were, like, a few games every year where he decided, like, you know what, I'm going to pass.
Yeah.
I think this is one of them. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. I remember the 2013 season. There was, like, this little run, like, I think right before he tore his Achilles, where he averaged, like, 11 assists a game or something.
Or that the Phoenix Suns game where he was pouting the entire time. It just passed him.
Yeah.
Well, you know, see, that's the difference between somebody who's like, oh, let me shut up. It's Bill Russell and Julius.
Yeah. And Jim Gray.
I choose to ignore him. Bill, what have you tried to do in recent years to pass on the tradition and what it means to be an All-Star and to conduct yourself in All-Star fashion?
First of all, I like to watch games, and I always tell people how much I enjoy the game and how much I respect the
players. Oh, I see Oscar Robertson in the background.
See,
I got an eye out for the old guys.
Yeah.
They all have sweet leather jackets that have their name and then, like, an accomplishment underneath it.
Sure.
I wish I had a leather jacket. Like,
yeah. Notice that Docs has, I believe Docs has 3-time MVP on it, so counting.
They said two.
Oh, did it say two?
Yeah, I think it might be All-Star Game MVPs they're counting.
Oh, that would make more sense. Okay.
Because I was thinking the same thing, because if you're counting ABA and NBA, Julius Erving would be a 3-time MVP, right?
Okay, yeah, I thought I saw three and not two. I didn't
Yeah, Erving was the NBA All-Star Game MVP in 77 and 83.
Ah, there you go. Okay, sure enough. Right, yeah.
Just for the record, if you're counting regular season MVPs, he'd be 4-time MVP. He got
three
in a row in the
That's
ABA.
Right.
Oh, he got a three in a row. Okay.
That's right. He shared one with McGinnis, but yeah.
Gentlemen, yep. Nice to see you both, and we look forward to the festivities at halftime. I have to get the record straight with Julius.
Yeah.
Just had the honor of meeting him once. Mine's not retired, though. I'm still active. And I actually called him Julius, too. That was really weird.
Oh.
I was like, I don't know if I call you Mr. Irving, Dr. J, Julius. So I was like, I'm just going to call him Julius.
You're both doctors now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we weren't at the time, so.
Yeah, we interviewed Irving, right? I wasn't there, unfortunately. I think the only time he could do it was like early in the days. But Jason talked to him, and then like when we were done, one of his guys was just like, "Hey, we want to send you guys some stuff." And I'm thinking it's going to be like, okay, like some I-10 or something like that. It was like a box of like multiple like branded Julius Irving merchandise that I still wear to this day. I'm literally wearing it.
Yeah.
Julius Irving hoodie that I got. I was like, this is amazing. Why did he send this to us?
Yeah, it was really nice. Yeah.
He's, either that, he's a nice man.
A half of a second of thought to us idiots.
Yeah,
it's like a shirt, a hat, and a hoodie, and then like something else, too. And I was like, what the hell, buddy? It's awesome.
Yeah. In the 1961. Yeah, we had a great show. We talked about the 80s Bucks.
And who did I tell you to ask him about that you didn't?
I don't remember. Actually, was Bobby Jones?
See? Well, of course you'd always ask about Bobby Jones. And also, okay. Let's note that Antonio Davis just had a monster dog.
That was great.
Curtis, I have always been on Antonio Davis' side. If, but no, I like to tape. But, you don't recall me saying Curtis. I don't know why you're besmirching Antonio Davis so much.
Yeah, right. That's
what a charge taken by Stackhouse, baby.
Yeah.
But no, Jason, I asked you to ask about him and Steve Mix.
Oh, that's right. I did not have a chance to get that in the mix. So.
And there's lots of great, because they're roommates, so there would have been lots of great stories to share.
Yeah.
Alas. Of course, I didn't ask him about it either, so I'm one to complain.
Wait, who was he roommates with?
Steve Mix.
Ah.
Oh, good pass, Mason.
Hell,
great.
There we go.
Shaq's grabbing not Carmelo's bicep. Apparently Shaq and Carl get along, okay? I think he's happy that he's
sitting over there watching right now. Yeah, well, for the time being.
Teammates,
yeah.
Right. They haven't played together yet.
Yeah. Do they have problems as teammates? Or, like,
I think everybody on the team had problems with everybody else on the team.
Okay, actually, like, these are big guys passing. I don't think Shaq and Malone had any direct problems. I think it was all around Kobe. It's like Malone and Kobe didn't get along for obvious reasons. And then Peyton and Kobe didn't get along.
Yeah.
So I think we found a common denominator. Shaq and Kobe didn't get along.
Right.
This is what people want to see.
Oh, yeah.
What a bounce pass from Anthony Mason.
Yeah, that's great stuff.
Evolution of the point forward.
Yeah.
Right, it was right here, this moment right here.
Yeah.
And like Vince was kind of expecting an alley-oop too. You saw him.
Yeah. Oh, he was ready to go up, and then he went. Ah,
yeah.
Yeah. I'll take that too. That
like, yeah, but Anthony Mason didn't throw alley-oops.
No.
Not from that far. He's like, come on, man.
That's that's too newfangled.
Yeah. Let's be honest. Yeah, that's a little risky for Mason. He was already turnover prone.
Right. Yeah.
Tossing up alley-oops on a run like that.
Sure. Yeah. The all-time series in favor of the East,
31-18. Last season, oh, this is the 50th All-Star game, this one.
Oh, right, yeah. Oh, that explains the leather jackets and stuff. And the, okay.
Yeah.
But should note also, like, God, what is the number? I think Boston had the first All-Star game because their owner, yes. Walter Brown, came up with the idea. But they had it four times, I think, in, like, the first 14 All-Star games, and they haven't had it since, which I think is, like, a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think they deserve to have an All-Star game. Like, the last one they had was the All-Star game strike. That was in 64. So, it's like the NBA, like, you guys are never getting an All-Star game again because the players are going to revolt.
Yeah, they're a little scared. Yeah, they're still a little.
Yeah, that's kind of surprising. I mean, I get it, old Boston Garden, you know, because it was, you know, a junkie, but they've had a new arena for 20 years now, so more than that. Yeah.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, but that's just a really long time for, like,
yeah, the one of the marquee cities. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And not like cold city of
Earth. Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Your boy got dunked on there, Curtis.
Yeah.
Davis just got
dunked. Right.
Well, you know what? He tried.
Yeah.
Hey, but okay, seriously though, why would you hold the All-Star game in Boston when Cleveland's right there?
Right. The lovely city of Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yeah, what the hell? They've had in Cleveland twice now, like 25 years.
Wait, I was being sincere.
No. Also, those Phoenix Suns jerseys suck.
Yeah,
I've been
yeah
a foul
they're not great. I don't like those jerseys that look like silken.
Yeah, never.
They like pajamas.
Because like that's the thing that like really held back the Nuggets jerseys that kind of followed these ones for me.
They were too glossy.
Yeah, the Carmelo
Anthony era ones. Okay.
Yeah,
very glossy. Those powder blue ones.
I like those, but I get what you're saying. Yeah.
I don't have an issue with the design as much as just the look of the fabric.
Right. I don't like how much gray is in that one.
Y'all see that little dance kid just did there? He was like peacocking a little.
Yeah. I think I left it at the two ball yesterday. I was saving really it. Not to.
I'm glad I knocked down that last shot. Two ball. We should have watched that.
Halftime, but overall, we're having fun and let those guys keep rebounding.
You've been passing the ball awful well, too. What's it like trying to get everybody involved? Yeah, I know you normally do, but not quite the same.
Yeah, where else? I'm just wondering where else that we have not had an All Star game in a very long time. I mean, obviously, there's the Olympics. There's 30 NBA cities, so or 29 NBA cities, I guess. But
well, Portland has never had it.
Yeah, I can't imagine Sacramento's had too many.
All right, Jason. Portland's never had it.
Yeah,
and I've heard the excuse there is that Portland doesn't have enough hotels. Like apparently, that's the thing.
Right.
Seems yeah. I just was in Portland. I think I had a lot of hotels. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, hey, I'm just saying what I've heard from other people when I bring it up. They're like, Portland doesn't have enough hotel space. I'm like, okay.
Cleveland takes great pride in its hotels.
Yeah, well-known hotel city.
I think Sacramento and Portland might be the only one.
Yeah, there's no way Sacramento's ever had one, right?
All right, I know you want to get to the locker room. Thanks a lot. Has there been one in Salt Lake?
Yeah, they had it early 90s.
Oh, 93, yeah. Okay.
Early 90s, yes, Malone and Stockton got the MVP that year.
Oh,
too.
That's right, okay.
Has San Antonio had it since the mid-90s, the 96 one?
No, that was the only time they had it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, there's
Memphis has
rock.
Never had it. Memphis is another one.
Oh, what a great city to have it in. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Everybody be drunk. And
it'd be crazy if they had it in Vancouver.
That'd be awesome.
1969 in Landover, Maryland. 1980. All right, I think those are the three. Memphis, Sacramento, and Portland.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, because all the expansion teams in the 80s and 90s, they made sure they got them as part of, like, you know, to boost interest in those franchises.
Yeah, Charlotte's had it twice.
Except for the Canadian teams, of course. Then Toronto finally got it.
Yeah. Whatever was that, Milwaukee? Like 2016? When's the last time Milwaukee's had it? Lost to the East by
2 points. I can't remember. They've had it. They've had it in 70. Yeah, they had it in 77. Yeah, okay. So I think that was the only time.
Yeah.
Because that's a solid as hell city. I mean, everything's right there, pretty centrally located. They have the new arena now, so.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I'm a little surprised Sacramento didn't get it with their new arena. I mean, I get the reasons why you might not do it.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to, no, build us a new arena. Yeah. All right, thanks.
Yeah.
Bye. Like, we're going to leave if you don't give us a new arena. Okay, here's a new arena. All right, bye.
Yeah.
Was the year they did it in Cowboys Stadium the only time they did it at a non-basketball or non-NBA arena?
2011, 2012, somewhere in that range, I want to say.
Yeah. 2007, they did it at the Thomas and Mack Center in Nevada.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. But, the Dallas was, that was... 1968 ABA All-Star game. I'm not seeing it here. Arlington, Texas, 2010.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can see what's happened. Matumbo
is starting this. Yeah, that was an odd one. Such a great
job when he came. Yeah, with like 90,000 people there, 100,000 people there, whatever. So.
Oh.
So I don't know if it's
attendance or shoot attendance there. So I can't say.
But I just caught Doug Collins mentioning that Matumbo had 8 rebounds in the first half.
He finishes. That's going to get him some MVP votes.
He finishes the game with many more than 8 rebounds. Starting the second half
in the backcourt with Allen Iverson. Here's Tracy McGrady. Still 13. Still 13 for the West. I don't know. Still time for us to switch to 2-ball. From the shirt. Or we can rewatch the 2001 dunk contest with Desmond Mason and. I forget who else. Jay Rich was definitely
player?
Still in there. Jay Rich is definitely still in there. I don't remember the guys. Probably like, this is like Jonathan Bender, Desmond Mason. The stars came out. The stars came out on
really
Saturday, guys. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I'm still convinced Jonathan Bender is going to be a star.
He was, he was one that I was definitely very wrong about. And
there's still time. Yeah.
Still not sure about it.
Right. I mean, how old is Jonathan Bender now?
He's probably only like 32 years old, right?
No, he's got to be like closing in on 40 now.
Yes. 41. You got to talk about him. Hey, it's still time for a comeback.
I think he's still
the job he's yeah. done as Glenn Robinson makes a little
baseline jumper, but I've got to say that Anthony Randolph, of course, is only 32.
Right. He's younger than Steph Curry, right? Or is it Bynum who's younger than Steph Curry? I always forget who that one of those guys is younger than Steph Curry. This is where, as a coach, you got to look at the guys and look, we're getting real sloppy. I think it's Anthony Randolph.
Randolph is younger than Steph Curry.
Okay. Let's make the simple play here for a while. I think Andrew Bynum is genuinely old by now, but 34.
Yeah.
No, I was about to say, no, he ain't.
Like that, not old, old, but, you know, would be, yeah.
He could still be in the NBA.
Right.
Well, I mean, obviously, if not for the injuries, but.
Right.
I mean, he's too busy bowling.
Yeah. Hey. So.
I'm talking about a guy in recent history that I was like super wrong about. The name has escaped me. It's like I can figure it out. Oh, Derek Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Minnesota pick. I'm still convinced that it's gotta. Come on. Like, what the hell? 6'8. Ball by Ed Rush. Jump out to gym. No, it's not quite.
No.
Hideous draft, by the way. That 2011 draft. Don't even look at it. Don't. So.
What are you talking about? That was Kyrie, Butler, Thompson, Kawhi.
Yeah, the top five is number two is Derek Williams. Number three is Enes Kanter.
Four is Tristan Thompson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jan Vesely.
Yeah.
Yep. He was number six, I think.
Yep. Yeah. Bismack Biyombo. It's funny because, yeah, like the late rounds are like a lot better than the top five, like significantly better.
Derek Williams and I share a birthday. May 25th.
There you go.
Yeah. You and I have spoken so often. I
said, you know, if you could put an ideal. Congratulations.
Yes. There you go. Tracy McGrady was born one day before I was born.
As was Joe Dumars.
Well, McGrady the year. McGrady was born.
Oh, like literally. Oh, every way.
Oh,
yeah, like,
he was. Oh, like, good.
Literally one day before. Yeah. The spin for
Garnett. Excuse us. We're playing down there, rebound.
Yeah.
From
a
who made more money, 10, you or Tracy McGrady?
Well, I mean, the jury's still out with that.
I was going to say,
we haven't lived our entire life yet. Yeah.
Yeah, it's still time to make up the deficit.
A little behind now, but I you know, Jason, I'm confident in you.
Hey, you know.
If this over and back thing really gets working out, I mean, yeah, we could
definitely. Yeah, right. Hey, I'm in programming now. Yeah, I'm catching up. Journalism, not quite as lucrative.
Bryant looking for the steal. So that's like the third or fourth dunk Chris Webber's had, where he just caught it right under the basket or a foot from the basket. He just like does a little
up and under, yeah.
Yeah, up under dunk.
The best NBA player born on my birthday is the immortal Kent Benson.
Ooh.
Oh, we love Kent Benson here.
Well, Rayness especially. Would,
you know, right, let's call him.
Yeah, exactly.
You expect him, I expect no, actually, it's good that Rennis is not here for this game. I think Shaq
is going to come back better. Is that
there's
right?
A distinct
left. There we go.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's not look like Garnett was going to get there for that.
Yeah.
Well, it looked like Kobe was trying to kill Garnett. With that.
Yeah, wait a minute.
Well, Savage right, there. Like, yeah.
Yeah, like, yes, he was pulling all kinds of muscles to catch that.
Yeah.
I just noticed Jason Kidd's the whitest guy in this All-Star game, right?
Oh, him and Divac, and Divac is Eastern European.
Yeah.
Right.
Your jury's out on that one.
Right.
Right. And that, yeah. That guy's seen some shit, too, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
He threw, oh my god, he threw that so high on the glass.
Finish, but I expect them both to play
much better in the second half, Mark. Latrell Sprewell going up. Yeah, so yeah, this is not Renaissance type of game.
No.
So,
a little game within the game. All right.
Yeah, we've just made it.
I'm sure he would still enjoy it.
I mean, he'd enjoy it, but.
Right, yes, yes. No, he would. We would not have that conversation that was without going off topic.
Right, yeah. And there's also zero Latvians, too. Which is,
that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
What the hell is Kobe doing today? Kobe is just. How drunk is Kobe?
Is he on drugs or something? Yeah.
What the hell is he doing? He's been doing this all game. He just, every time he gets the ball, he just. Spins.
Spins and passes it. Yeah.
He's doing a lot of spinning.
Yeah. It's like one of those, like, Larry Bird challenges where, like, you know, I'm going to, like, shoot it all with my left hand. Or, like, I'm just going to spin and just do something every time.
Because he was, like, notoriously, like, non-partier at this time. So I wonder if, someone, like, they spiked his drink or something like that.
I was about to say, he was on the David Thompson challenge. That's what it looked like to me. Yeah.
Whereas Iverson is probably just sweating vodka right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was at TGI Fridays like 4 a.m.
Yeah. That man has not slept in three days for sure.
And remember, this is a semi-homecoming for Iverson, too.
Right. Oh, yeah, Georgetown.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, he's from Virginia and went to Georgetown, so playing in D.C. was essentially a home game for him right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know he was out having fun before this game.
Oh, yeah. 6 minutes to go. Yeah, shutting down P.F. Chang's all over
this. That man loves his chain restaurants.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who doesn't? I mean, who among us doesn't love a great meal at TGI Fridays?
Yeah. Hey, when you travel that much, you want something reliable. You know, I get it.
I've got too much Applebee's nostalgia from high school.
Oh, yeah, Weber, don't shoot those threes, man.
Ooh, ooh, yeah. Duncan cleared it up.
Yeah. Yeah, Weber shouldn't be shooting threes. That's the devil's devil shot right there. This is 2001. We don't shoot threes. Why did they get a new shot clock?
Is Doug Collins complaining about like shot clock management?
No, he. I think he was channeling. This guy takes a beating during the course of. God, Larry Brown.
Okay.
No, because like the shot clock, I think it reset. Oh, even though Chris Webber didn't hit anything.
Okay. Stop, Baba Tumbo,
and a foul is called. So I think I didn't hear it all, but I think he was saying that Larry Brown was complaining about that. Even though it didn't make a lick of difference on that.
Okay.
It did not matter.
That sounds,
Larry Brown was complaining about something?
Yeah. Sounds reasonable. Yeah.
Also, just noticed that was Maurice Cheeks on the sideline. The assistant for the East. Back in Washington, D.C., Marv. Four-time All-Star, maybe five-time. Definitely four-time All-Star, Maurice Cheeks. Yeah, he was a 97. What
a great thrill. I will never forget. Two less than Joe Johnson. And looking around and seeing
the greatness of these players. Yeah. One of them's in the Hall of Fame. I don't think the other one's going to be.
Probably not.
I think I've told this story before. Maybe I shouldn't, but Joe Johnson purchased fitness equipment for my company. And the email address he used was 8timeallstar@yahoo.com. Now, I don't know if the Yahoo, I don't know if it's Yahoo or Gmail or whatever. I'm just putting up a random one, but it was definitely like 8-time All-Star. And
that rules.
He's the 7-time All-Star.
Yeah, I'm about to say, ain't no way.
But what I love about that is, like, we started to theorize. Did he, like, get that email address in 2010? He was like, nah, man, I'm making it again. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
maybe that's an aspirational email address.
Yeah,
maybe he made it, like, in 2000.
Yeah, self-motivated. Yeah, right. And in which case, like, yeah, we theorized that, too. Like, maybe he made it really early in his career, and, like, good for him, man. He got real damn close to me.
Yeah,
so either way, it rules. He's either like, nah, man, I'm getting back there. I'm going to be an All-Star again, or like, yeah, he did it in like 2000. It was like, hell yeah, I'm gonna go to the NBA, I'm gonna become an 8-time All-Star. Hey, he got really close either way.
So. It could be symbolic of lost dreams and failed hopes.
Has he been in a big three All-Star game?
I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
See that they had three great 76ers all beside each other. Jerry Stackhouse, Allen Iverson, and Matumbo.
Somebody's got to rebound the basketball. Three legends. Because Matumbo was doing all the work on the backboards. Now it's whether it's Anthony Mason or Antonio Davis. Yeah, did Stackhouse and Iverson not get along, or they just didn't like playing together?
They got along. They just didn't fit.
Right.
It wasn't no like personal animosity.
You would imagine they would not play well together.
I mean, yeah, they're both shot chuckers. So.
Right, yeah.
Here's Houston. So, you see people be like, they never have another score with Allen Iverson. I was like, well, Jerry Stackhouse won the one you wanted because he was shooting like 40%.
Right.
Like, you need another score, but not that kind of score.
Sure.
Davis able
to slap and Allen will pick it. And here's Houston
for the East. Iverson, I think, is one of those players that would really benefit from playing in today's era. Imagine having all that space to attack the rim and just give him the ball and let him work, which is like what a lot of offenses do now anyway with their best player.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, he'd be a really interesting guy in a different era. Yeah, you're right. I mean, and I do think he definitely would benefit from the space. Obviously, he would have to change his game somewhat, too. He'd have to shoot a few more threes. But I think just doing the stuff, you know, just the stuff that he was good at, it would still be really, really helpful, and he'd still be a great player.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably a little bit less partying. That probably wouldn't work quite as well in this era. I don't think the partying's quite as heavy now than it was in 2001. I could be wrong.
I really like that he was around in like this time too, and I do like that eventually the Sixers were just like, you know what, dude, all right, we're just gonna put everybody else is not gonna touch the ball, and you just do everything. Like, he's made some really fun seasons. Obviously, it burst out really quickly and wasn't really, but yeah, seasons like this and like the next couple years are just awesome, because it's just like the Sixers being like, you know what, just do everything, man. Like, and it led to some really awesome stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he's such a phenomenal athlete. To say nothing of the cultural impact and everything. Just even just watch, this is like an All-Star game. You know, the best athlete, the best NBA players in the world. And just even watching the way he moves relative to everyone else, he's so much more fluid and just a kinesthetic marvel to watch.
Kinesthetic marvel, I like that. That was that's good. Yeah, no, it's really it's quite a delight to see him go.
I love Allen Iverson. He was like my first favorite player post Jordan, and I think part of that with him is like there is that element of like hyper competitiveness, of like the seriousness with which he plays. But that's not all there is. There's such a delight in watching him play too. Like, there's an effervescent joy in his demeanor too. It's like it's both. It's the serious gladiatorial element as well as like the I can't believe I get to do this and my body lets me do this. He's so fun.
Yeah. I think when Kyrie's on as a player, I sometimes get a similar vibe, especially when he was young. I really do feel like as a player, only as a player.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm just laughing at Marbury's move there. Not,
oh, okay, yeah.
Another effervescent player.
Yeah.
Yes.
Stephon Marbury.
I thought he was trying to shoot that. I didn't know he was passing.
Yeah, Marbury's like not a guy I've rewatched a lot, and I kind of missed like when I really got into the NBA was kind of when he was starting to, you know, kind of fade as a player already. He's not a guy I've really had a chance to reevaluate, but obviously he had really big numbers. Obviously not really that particularly good teams, didn't really have a good reputation at the time. I wonder what he'd look like kind of on a reevaluation.
I mean, Marbury's an odd one because like he's one of those players that like in a vacuum, he's so unbelievably talented. His shot making abilities, his burst, his ball handling. He wasn't a phenomenal passer, but he could be very good at it when he directed himself to it. But yeah, I don't know how much of it was self sabotage and how much of it was being in bad situations. I think it was a bit of both. I mean, obviously, one of the bigger what ifs of the last 25 years, 26 years of NBA history is like, what if him and KG stay together? Because they were such remarkable talents. And I do think Marbury, I think his reputation has suffered way more than it deserves to, because at his best, he was really remarkable. And I do think part of the issue is, you know, how do you evaluate a player if they're best in a vacuum, if it doesn't translate in a team setting as well? That's where the rub comes with him.
Yeah. I would say I remember watching him play. Yeah. 25 seconds remaining of the those if you just look at his numbers, it's like, oh, this looks like a Hall of Fame point guard, because he was around 20 points, like 8 assists for his career to the very end. But man, watching him play, it's like, yeah, this dude ain't doing a lot to help.
Nah,
his
he's
team
pretty dumb player too on the court. Like, it was like, a lot of fun stuff, but a lot of like.
Well, save some of your critiques for the last minute of this game.
Oh no, I agree. Yeah, he's gonna make us all feel like idiots.
My critique was on full display like 2 minutes earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, I mean, it's like, remarkable. I think there was a time, like, I think for 6 or 7 straight, or like maybe the 4 or 5 times that he got moved, like immediately the year he would move off a team, they would like immediately be great. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, there was a whole chart in the first Free Darko book about that.
Right. Oh, that's it. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of. It was just like every time you get rid of Stephon Marbury, your team would get like 20 wins better almost immediately.
I mean, well, look at Shaq and Kobe like showing camaraderie on the sidelines there.
Yeah.
Oh, man, they're going to win like 10 titles together.
Now, if you get a chance to trade Stephon Marbury for Terrell Brandon, you do it every time. That's all I'm saying.
See, and that's like the weird thing. It's like, I'm, you know, Terrell Brandon's undervalued, I think, historically. But like, Stephon Marbury's like a better player than Terrell Brandon, yet Terrell Brandon's always going to make your team better than Stephon Marbury did.
Well, I think that makes Terrell Brandon a better player then, because he's actually knowing what to do with the ball.
Right.
There's something to that.
Yep.
Uh Oh crap!
89-72. I think it's over, guys. So
yeah,
that was the last chance.
We can just sign off because
especially with the pace, especially with the lower pace they're playing here.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a dagger.
I'm just gonna plug that out.
No, I will say it does suck. Antonio McDyess never got a championship.
I love Antonio McDyess, man. I love.
I know he came so close with the Pistons in 05 when they lost that awful series.
Yeah.
And I mean awful just from an aesthetic standpoint.
It was not a good one.
I also love the power play he plays, too, where he gets traded and then just goes right back to the team that traded him.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help them at all. Like, the team's somehow still not good. You know what I mean? Like, they should be better than they were, but... I love that. Yeah, getting traded to Phoenix, just bouncing out of Phoenix, going back to Denver. You'd end up in Phoenix again, right? Kobe, take
over. Opposite. No, Denver, then Phoenix, then back to Denver.
Well, that's what I meant. I meant Denver, then he went to... But he went back to Phoenix later. Like, his career.
Do they have language... Do they have Kobe speaking a foreign language right here?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Jim Gray's being a little douchey. Yeah. Like, Kobe, you speak three languages? He's a base like...
Do you speak English even?
Like,
yeah.
Right?
Rich, you're right. In the... because he would get traded to the Knicks, and then he would, and then he went to Phoenix very briefly in the 04 season before he went to Detroit. Yeah.
Ah, right. Okay. For some reason, I remember him in those Phoenix jerseys, like the modern ish.
Right.
Did not go well. Yeah. I don't remember.
No. He was in the. He was in the Marbury Penny Hardaway trade. He went to Phoenix in that trade.
Okay.
Yeah. We need to stick to on the court. Look at Kenny. I had forgotten all about that.
All right, guys, well, the good news is they may not be speaking the same
language, but they're communicating very well. Another score from Vlade. East is in trouble. Actually, this is the biggest lead of the game for the West.
Yeah, it's over, man.
Yeah, it's like 19.
Yeah.
I think
Kobe had it done. Shaq, I thought, was
confused. They're just playing now. Yeah, you know, they're just playing around.
Yeah.
Just lollygagging out there. Playing off the strings of this game.
Lollygagging indeed.
Yeah. He's just... It's a 93-74 lead for the West. Remember when All-Star games had like scores like this? You know, 197 to...
When they didn't have like 85 threes.
Right.
Well, that's because you got somebody like Mutombo protecting the paint.
Yeah.
They got the points, but Mutombo made them work for it.
Yeah. Imagine if they had. Imagine if they had like Theo Ratliff here. Like these would be like 70 to 60 again.
Lockdown D.
Yeah, exactly.
Rudy Gobert would watch this, which is such envy.
Yeah, it's not even the score necessarily. It's just the competitiveness.
Yeah.
Of trying to get a point.
Yeah.
Although we should say there's been a lot of terrible passes in this game.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
They're really
you guys be kind of goofing off a little bit.
Right. Yeah, I think it's a good mix of like seriousness and fun. I mean, yeah, they're having fun out there, but it is, you know, a competitive game. People are trying.
Right.
You know?
There's a lot of weird people that think like All-Star games should be like guys like throwing elbows at each other and like it's like come on, they're not going to do that. Why would they do that?
No, like there's a difference between competitive and elbow throwing.
Right. Like, and there was like a couple years ago, I forget. I think it was the one where they finally decided, okay, this East-West thing's got to start. Where guys were just like stopping at half court and throwing up hoops and stuff. And it's like, okay, like we've lost.
I was going to mention something similar where it's like in this game, players have thrown stupid and bad passes, but the defense wasn't just sitting there like, hey, do you want to make a stupid, dumb bad pass? Go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
Or like, hey, here's a wide open alley-oop. Just go ahead and make it happen. Like, we're not even going to try to put up any resistance whatsoever. So that was the issue like 5 or 6 years ago where they were just like literally not even trying to play defense. They were just running up and down the court, nobody trying.
Yeah, they've been better recently, I would say, but with that rule change. But yeah, it definitely got out of hand.
Yeah, the first Elam ending game was a blast too.
Try to get back, you know, this is giving us an opportunity. So at this point, interestingly enough, the Jazz, Timberwolves, Spurs, Mavericks, Kings, and Lakers are all within one win of each other at this point in you know, obviously before this All-Star game, there's seven teams all within one win of, or six teams all within one win of each other. And then Portland actually led the West at 35-15, just a couple games ahead of all those teams. So very, very competitive West at this point.
Yeah. Well, that's because the Lakers are dogging it.
That's true. That's true. Well, I mean, there were some, obviously the Spurs were really good. The Kings were really good. I mean, but yes, obviously the Lakers are going to demonstrate in the playoffs that that didn't matter so much. The Nuggets are 27-24. I forgot they were decent at this point. Which I guess
just when the Western Conference was super, I mean, West side. Yeah. I think this year has been a little bit overblown. People be like, oh, the East is better than the West. I'm like, this has happened in the last few years where the East kind of gets out to, I guess, an early lead, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
But then the West proves to be equal or better than the East once again. But in this period, the West was ridiculously stacked. I think it was this year or maybe the next where the Rockets won. No, I think it was 2000. But the Rockets won like 45 games and missed the playoffs.
Right.
So this is stupid.
There was a lot of under 500 East teams for the next like 7 years too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, which is under 500 playoff East teams, which are really tough. Like 34, 37 win teams. You're like, oh man.
Well, like, I'm not mad if like a 38 win team makes the playoffs. I'm just mad when they make it and then you have like a 45 win team that gets pushed out.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the West is having like some real good teams miss the playoffs and then like some.
Yeah, it's like at this point, like just. Like, can we get rid of like? Let's talk about like 2008, like when the 37-win Hawks made the playoffs in the East.
Hey, they took the Celtics to 7 games.
And I know I was just about to mention that, right, and yet somehow took the Celtics to 7 games.
Yeah, I went to Game 4. But, that's a series. Wonderful memory.
Yeah, but like we should be able to dump them out if there's a team in the West that had like 43 or 44 wins and they missed the playoffs.
Well, I'm not going to agree with that, but I understand your point.
Okay, well, yeah. But like I have a similar fear with the play-in stuff they're doing now. They should have wrote in some. I mean, it's not the end of the world, but I think they should have wrote in some kind of caveat where if like the seventh team has something like 46 wins and then like everybody else below them is at like 38 or 39. It's like, let the 46 win team in. Let those three bums fight it out that last spot.
Yeah, that is definitely going to come up some year, and it hasn't happened yet. But there is going to be. That's definitely the. The byproduct of that of letting the new teams in is, yeah, someone's going to get, like, screwed out of that and be like, what the hell? Like, I'm so much better than these other teams. Why do I have to do this play-in thing? Or you get a situation like we had last year where it's, like, the Warriors and the, you know, the Lakers battling it out in the play-in. The East was, what, Pacers and Hornets?
Well, yeah,
that's going to happen.
Interest level, I guess, yeah, but they were relatively similar teams in quality, so
yeah. Plus it's the Lakers, that bum franchise.
Yeah.
Right. Did y'all see that
athletic score
made by Jerry West?
I did see that, yeah.
I can't believe the cheapness of that franchise. Well, I can, but I can't believe the cheapness of that franchise. Taking away Jerry West's lifetime tickets. Those bastards. Like, after all that being did for that franchise, y'all gonna be so petty as to be like, well, you can't come to the games no more for free.
Well, you can just pay the very reasonable tickets. And,
yeah.
Very affordable Los Angeles Lakers tickets.
Ooh, Iverson right there.
Like, I'm just saying, if you got a retired jersey and a statue, you shouldn't have to pay.
You're the logo. He's the logo of the league.
Yeah, you're right. If you're the logo of the damn NBA, you shouldn't have to pay for anything.
If you're not going to get royalties for that, you should at least get some tickets.
Right. That seems fair. Yeah.
Karl Malone
was
bored. Karl Malone.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not even on the bench. He's on the bench. He's like, I put in my 3 minutes. So I'm
yeah. He's not even on the normal bench.
He's just counting down until he can go to the range.
Yeah.
He's also upset with DC's strict gun laws.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
He went out of halftime to start his truck to make sure it was warm when he had like
God, I hate him.
Oh, see, look at that defense. Even from Allen Iverson.
Yeah,
look at
that. Yeah, that was good.
He's not losing.
He like led the league in steals a couple times, didn't he?
But hey, look, let's remember, steals aren't always defense, or good defense.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to remember that. Like, not all steals are created equal.
But it's effort. We'll give it that.
But in Iverson's case, in these years, it was beneficial because they had like all the other defenders, so he could gamble more. That's the thing when you have a gambler.
Right. You have Lynch and McKee and all those guys that are.
You can't gamble when you got a bunch of sorry defensive players around you. But yeah, if you got McKee and Lynch and Ratliff / Mutombo, you can.
Eric Snow.
Yeah.
Raja Bell.
Nobody's come over here though to try to sway me in any way.
See the ballot?
Yeah. Have to wait and see here if anybody tries.
One ball game.
Yeah.
A little tight.
You were giving up on this one, but yeah.
Turns out it should be.
Yeah. Balanced scoring.
Oh, really? Now, if they just put Antonio Davis back in.
Right. Antonio Davis is key.
They could use that rim protection and that 43% shooting.
Now, Kobe posting. How's this going to go?
Oh, yeah.
It's only a 7-point game. Well, he's pushing it.
Nice.
And it goes
in. Yeah.
That's
good.
I remember that.
Larry's slightly happy.
Look, Larry's invested. You see the look on his face. He's like, he has to win this shit.
Yeah.
he's not angry.
Yeah. He doesn't want to quit this team anymore. It's like, all right, I guess we'll ride it out.
I'll give him at least 3 more months. Yeah.
Yeah.
But ain't that the crazy thing with Larry? He's like, he'll, in the big picture, ready to quit on the team, but in an individual game, he'll want to win that game.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
There you go. Look at Mutombo.
Oh, just dribble, man. Point guard. No.
No. Mutombo.
How many career dribbles do you think?
I was just wondering, yeah, what's the most consecutive dribbles I've ever seen Dikembe Mutombo have? Like, it can't be more than like 3 or 4. Shot clock running down with no problem at all. No pressure at all from the West. We're gonna have to get our archivist on that and see if we can dig through the. That's a question we need to have right now. Yeah.
No, that's a question you can have. I'm not gonna find it for
you. The Overbeck video archivist that we obviously have as our episode. He doesn't appear on the episode. Just finds the video. Most rebounds in a single game
held by Bob Pettit of the old St. Louis Hawks. He had Bob Pettit mentioned in the All-Star game back in 1962 at the Kembe Mutombo right now. Oh, I remember that game. It's just like I was there. But oh my God, that was a travesty. Bob Pettit getting the 62 All-Star game MVP. Should have been Wilt Chamberlain, but Bob Pettit got it because it was in St. Louis.
Yeah. St. Louis had 4 All-Star games. I was looking at the list earlier. More than I would have expected. Given the league hasn't been in St. Louis in 68.
No, that was the game. But I think Wilt had 42 points that game. It was like, he's clearly the MVP. But again, since it was in St. Louis, they're like, well, Bob had like 25 points and 21 rebounds, so we'll give it to him. But it's like, but Wilt had like 42 points and 18 rebounds.
Yeah.
The Wilt scale, that's normal.
Yeah. Yeah, 42 and 24 for Wilt. Only 25 and 27 for Pettit.
That's probably the least minutes he played all year, too.
Probably. Well,
yeah, I mean, yes.
Yeah.
I think he might have had. There's one game he had to leave early for some reason.
He got ejected.
It's just like he played 30 minutes one game, then every single other one was like at least 48.
Right. Well, Bellamy.
Oh, we got a tie ball game.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Oh, well, and now it's untied. It's going to be
very difficult. KG got
Like, Garnett, that just that high as hell release point from Garnett.
Oh, that's the best, yeah. Iverson
for 3.
Nice.
Watching him at his best just has always made me so happy.
Ooh, first lead tonight. That's the shot you want.
Early 2000s Jason Kidd from 3.
Especially that time. Yeah. Speaking of 40% from the field. Yeah, it's
get the rebound.
Not too fancy. Kobe's too fancy this game.
Yeah.
And that was good, but
yeah.
Okay, actually, you know what? Here's something that's underrated in the All-Star game. The crowd is super invested in what's happening here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, they're going nuts here.
Like,
yeah,
you can't really hear the crowd was living and dying at every.
They're going wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, every batted ball, the crowd was like, oh. Yes.
Oh. Oh, nice steal.
Ooh, oh, nice.
Oh, he could feel the tension.
Yeah.
Everybody's smiling.
You're like, this is a good game.
We haven't seen that since he was coaching Denver.
Who cares?
Oh, they should have just let that go.
Yeah, I agree. Two or three shots late to win that game, he will keep attacking
you. And that game, he hit three straight from downtown. Good defense by
look at that defense. It leads to excitement. Gets it off, draws the foul. Oh my God, was that Jason Whitlock?
That was definitely Jason Whitlock. I was about to say, I think that was Jason Whitlock. Probably writing some horrific article about Allen Iverson being bad for
him. I know. Yes, he's setting a bad example for the youth.
Yeah.
Right. Because he was terrible by then, too, right? Like
Whitlock? I think he got his things going along. But.
Yeah, he wasn't bad like, as he is, but there's definitely some bad stuff already. Yeah.
You could see the groundwork being laid.
Yeah, right. Like, he wasn't. Like, every single time wasn't awful, but, like, yeah, you could tell that he was definitely on his way.
He hadn't gone full-on reactionary crank yet.
Yeah, right.
So the East takes a one-point lead, a minute 35 remaining
in the fourth quarter. Oh, see Mutombo giving that help D?
Yeah.
Of course, Marbury didn't get back fast.
He's going to make up for it.
You keep saying that, Micah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
I believe in Stephon Marbury.
All right.
Little strategy here now. Larry Brown's taking. After this, I'm going to go to my local Stephen Berry's and get me some shoes.
Oh, I still have shin splints from those damn shoes. Yeah. I mean, that's not Marbury's fault. It's my fault for buying $10 shoes and thinking, yes, these are good for outdoor basketball. And the fourth quarter. Great players make great Michels plays. Did rule, Kobe Bryant going off the screen of Tim Duncan though. Pulls up and he knows he cannot get to the
basket because there is Mount Mutombo. Like, yeah, I just don't. I mean, I'm not harping on this just because it's Marbury, but like, I just don't get why he didn't continue coming over to Kobe. It's like Mutombo.
That's why
like,
that man got traded him.
No. Any defensive player. So I just talking about. But it's like if you're in that position, it's like keep getting back to your man.
Yeah.
It's like Mutombo's not going to be able to keep up with Kobe. So.
Right.
He did his job by closing up the paint temporarily. Oh, in and out.
Yeah. And Carter missing a three. Who could imagine?
Hey, he didn't even have the excuse of a college graduation today.
We did that game before, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I've heard. We had a good rant at the end about that.
I'm a huge Vince Carter defender, so I'm sure.
Hey, look at that.
See, that's one of those things with Steph. Like, the shot went in, but the shot selection.
Hey, it's beautiful when it works.
Disrespect to kid.
Well,
to this 50th NBA All-Star game, the
West by 2,
Marbury for 3.
Oh my goodness. It is funny watching
that. I think we went to the 2015 All-Star game. What happened?
It's so dumb, but it's so much fun when it works.
Yeah.
That should be his autobiography title. Dumb, but it's so much fun.
Right. It's like an action movie that you know is bad.
Well, Kobe's definitely taking this shot. I mean, there's no question. Ball and
hey, foul to give by Marbury. Smart, high IQ move.
But notice what they keep doing every time. They're like put Marbury in either isolation against Kobe or running that pick and roll with Duncan.
That man, the thought of passing that ball did not cross his mind.
Oh, never for one second. Never for one second.
Yeah.
You know, Mutombo's invested when he's making that kind of defensive play.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Getting all
Marbury
the way out of the
make that on purpose so he could do this.
That's actually a good theory.
He's like, I can't make a game winning shot if they're not ahead.
Oh, can we vote on this right now? I'm going to go to NBA.com
right now. Yeah.
Get that. He's more secure than that Twitter shit.
Who's voting? Who's voting? Yeah. Vince Carter. I mean, I my man's Vince Carter, but he's not having a great game.
Right.
How about Stephon Marbury with the clutch shooting down the stretch, along with?
Yeah, it's probably Allen Iverson has 15 points in the fourth quarter.
Maybe.
Let's maybe not have it up for a poll. Let's just give it to Allen Iverson.
Goes to Kobe, forces Kobe to pass, and maybe.
Wow.
10 seconds.
Anti-democratic over there.
We believe in uniforms, we don't believe in voting. So that's over back philosophy right here.
Oh, I always forgot that Weber shot almost goes
in
there. Look how excited these men are. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, a lot of,
Look, guys, they're ready to storm the crowd.
Yeah. There's a lot of joy there.
We were robbed of the Allen Iverson, Stephon Marbury, team. That should have happened.
Yeah.
Somebody should have made that happen after this game.
That would have been nuts.
Would it have worked? No. Would it have been awesome?
No.
Absolutely.
No.
That would have got blown up unless that.
Oh, yeah. 35 games tops for that.
Right.
Yeah. Duo, but.
That would have made Marbury and Francis look like, Frazier and Monroe.
I forgot they were teammates.
Yeah. Under Larry Brown.
Yeah.
Mutombo again.
Yeah, he was very scared of Mutombo, man. He was scared to get blocked.
And then Vince Carter with the clutch.
I like how Vince has that when that tippet almost went in.
He's not paying attention. He's like, my job is done.
Is that, is there any ability for that? Did the clock expire by the time? Because Vince is like done. When that definitely could have stolen in.
Maybe it came after this.
We couldn't hear the buzzer.
But yeah, that did seem. That'd be like the ultimate J.R. Smith type moment.
This game's MVP, and to make that presentation, here's the commissioner, David Stern.
Everybody's the gritted teeth.
Yeah.
You showed
best buds.
Cover up those tattoos.
Yeah.
Along with a spectacular cast of the world.
What is this, an airplane magazine?
NBA action is so fantastic. It shows why.
We got the big dog in a prominent spot, given that he was pretty quiet this game.
Yeah.
Doing the wrestling thing, you want to make sure you're behind a promo. You know, it's like the four horsemen, all Tully Blanchard having to stick his head out, make sure you knew he was there. Glenn Robinson's doing that, making sure you don't forget about the big dog.
Right, don't forget about the big dog. Not that you ever would.
Hey, I was right. Glenn, he did have 8 points. Oh, right on the money.
Ah.
Wow.
You are the star of stars. Especially being home.
The star of stars.
Anthony was there too.
With my coach. Sure.
With my coach. Coach Brown.
No, everybody loves that moment.
Is he around?
With my coach.
This is, this is a tribute to Coach Brown, my team.
That weird moment where they were like buddies for a while.
Oh, loved each other for like 2 years. And then,
Right.
Is a tribute to them. They loved each other too much. It was one of those things.
Yeah. In the world. I'm
at my second home. So I don't want to say
among us can't relate.
Right.
Ma, I love you. Ciara, Tawana, my kids, I love you. Congratulations.
Yeah, I forgot about this. This is awesome. Yeah. Let's go back tomorrow.
Yeah, like Allen and Larry, they kind of they got to a certain point where it's like, we pretty much know that we can do it together. We need to just go ahead and separate.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But now they love each other. It's just like, we've done all we're good that we're going to do together. So.
Yeah.
I mean, Allen had him as his.
Well, and it's like one of those relationships where the same. Yeah.
You guys want to watch the Truman Show? we can watch it.
Yeah, we definitely could. Yeah. Yeah, but this is a good time capsule. I'm glad we picked this game because there's a lot of fun stuff here. Definitely, an interesting era for the league. This is definitely nifty.
Yeah, this is my NBA. I was talking to Curtis a little bit before. I mean, this is my NBA too. I remember I had this game on VHS and watched this like dozens and dozens and dozens of times. Like this is that era for me that really stands out. The first time where I was really truly like, I'm a fan of the game. I am a fan of basketball, not just a fan of Jordan and Bulls or whatever. So yeah,
sure.
It always works for me in the nostalgia. I definitely remember watching this one and loving this time period of the NBA. I'm probably not as big of an NBA fan if not for this time period that just really captured me in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah, I see. That's what happens when you grew up in Chicago in the 90s, brainwashed by Jordan.
But I got out of it very quickly.
I'm a Jordan fan, not a basketball fan.
No, right. And see, unfortunately, I decided I was going to be a cool kid, and I really liked the Jazz, because I was like, nah, man, the Jazz. In retrospect, yes, I understand. But like at the time, I thought I was being cool by liking Malone and Stockton and wanting the Bulls to lose. But turns out it was both...
We all do misguided things in our youth.
Look, I thought at the time they were counterculture. Okay, I didn't know Karl Malone.
Oh my gosh,
I was 11. I didn't know Karl Malone was I just like the pick and roll guys. Okay,
hey,
and you didn't have to know nothing
about Karl Malone's extracurricular activities. No, that was a weird ass decision.
in hindsight, yes, but at this time period, I was finally able to let go of the. A whole Jordan Bulls thing and just kind of be like, hey, I'm a fan of this league. And because it was a cool as hell league. I mean, I think that's the thing that really strikes me about this time period is for some people. And it's for a lot of other people is the exact opposite. It was like, this league is too this, it's too that, it's too black, it's too thug. I was just like, this is awesome. Like, these guys are cool. Everybody has their own kind of personality. They have really cool looks. There's Vince Carter. It was like an awesome league. And I always kind of hope for this era to not necessarily come back, but like have this sort of, I don't know that there's as much personality in the league as there was at this time. And there's just so many different casts of characters at this time that you can look at.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's true.
Yeah. I mean, look at the juxtaposition of a Tim Duncan to an Allen Iverson, like, you know what I mean? Like two opposite ends of the spectrum completely, in terms of like bona fide stars in this league being just completely different humans.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think part of it is this comes, I mean, it's only 20 years ago, but it feels like a lifetime ago in the sense that like, this is kind of before everyone is being market tested, like before every player is like their own individual brands, there's more rough edges that haven't been sanded down. And I think there's almost like this confusion that the league is facing, like, okay, where do we go from our high point? And I think the players are kind of trying to figure out for themselves, like, who are we outside of Jordan's shadow? Who are we as ourselves? Who are we in this new culture and this new millennium? And I think it's very interesting because you kind of see the league and these players kind of not just they're figuring themselves out individually and collectively, and it's fascinating to kind of watch that all happening at once.
Well, the good news is Jordan will come back the next year, and then there's, you know, the 9/11 attacks just a few months later, so America was ready to have lots of exciting new ideas come around. That was the good part about the 2001 basketball season. Kind of off what Michael was saying, though, for real, was just the potential newness that there was there. Then came the snapback, you know, which you guys were alluding to with David Stern and Allen Iverson earlier. Mm-hmm. And then Michael Jordan making his comeback, although that's not what he was trying to do, but I think it's a good symbol of that, of like, oh, here's Michael Jordan back from the good old days. Like, this is how we really want things to be, even though it's this weird, deformed version of it, because he's at the Washington Wizards at that point. So like, it's kind of symbolic of it. You can't have it the way it used to be, even though you're trying to have it the way it used to be.
Yeah.
It's like they hadn't quite figured out what to do new. So it's like, well, just play the hits, you know, don't innovate, just bring it back and it'll be like it was, but that's not how it is.
I think maybe we'll close it down. Micah, would you anything you would like to share with our listeners?
Not that I can think of offhand. No.
Okay. All right. Well, as we said, you know, of course, your work can be found at the stepback at fansided.com and at RealGM. So, thanks for joining us. This was really great. And Curtis, of course, you got your Pro Hoops History newsletter. Anything you want to mention?
If folks haven't read it yet, you should read my special feature in the Washington Post, giving the NBA hell for lying about his history. So very exciting. I actually went out and bought an actual print edition of the newspaper because it was in the print edition. That's the first time I've been printed in a newspaper, so that felt good.
Nice.
But it's available online, so it talks about the actual origins of the NBA. So that was real exciting. And then, let's see. In approximately 2 weeks, I will have an article in The Athletic for their series of stories about the NBA's so-called 75th anniversary. And I have a special article in there. I can't talk about exactly what it's about, but it's related to that project. So, yeah, like I said, in about 2 weeks, that should get published. So I will obviously tweet about it, and hopefully you guys will read it. So.
Cool.
There you go. Yeah, the Washington Post article is how the NBA 75th anniversary sweeps away its early history. So that's how you can find it there. Or just look at Washington Post Curtis Harris. It's the first result that comes up. So yeah, must read for anybody who's interested in NBA history and really wants to know why, you know, we allude to those jokes a lot on the show about the NBA 75th anniversary and why, not really.
Yep. So. Yeah. Yeah, great job with that, Curtis, and appreciate you joining the show as always. It's a lot of fun, and thanks everyone for checking us out, for following along or listening to us later. We definitely appreciate all the support. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Over and Back NBA, and you can listen to us on your podcast player.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.